Psalm 90, these are God's words. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, how long? And have compassion on your servants. And satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of Yahweh our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So far, God's inspired and inerrant word. In the psalm, we pray and sing that God would be our home, that God would be our hope, that God would be our help, and that God would be our happiness. And it's very interesting that it is Moses by whom the Spirit gave us this psalm. For he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout our generations. And Moses was never really in his own home. He was yanked out of his parents' home very early in life and spent pretty much the first 40 years of his life growing up in Pharaoh's house. And Hebrews 11 teaches us that he recognized the whole time he was there that he belonged to another people, to another God, that he was a stranger in that house. And then the next 40 years he spent in the home of a Midianite, descended from Abraham, but not through Jacob, not through Israel, not with his people, a shepherd out in the corner of the wilderness. And then for the next 40 years, he wandered. And so really, the Lord is the only home that Moses ever truly had. But that is true for us. It's true for us because of the everlastingness of God. It's true for us because of the brevity of our life. I don't know if any of you think of the 217 house as a home, or remember the big house when you think of in your mind what home is. But we're in those houses for a season, we're in this house for a season. Maybe even it'll be 70 or 80 years, like the Lord talks about here. But what is that compared to God? And what is that compared to how long you will live? If you make your home this house, which is a blessed and happy house, it's highly concentrated. The hakims per square foot ratio is very high. And we have a blessed life, even just now, enjoying some of the greatest blessing of it, worshiping God together in His Word. And that truly is the blessing of our life, and this is our home. Family worship is more of our home than this place in the yard and the woods that you have come to know every part of. And because God is forever and He made us for Himself. And so He's not just our home, but He's our hope. He's our hope because we can hear a whisper of what we were designed to be in verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day when it is past, like a watch in the night. Roughly the length of the longest human life that we know of, ever lived, Methuselah, 969 years. Round it to 1,000. But we know why our life is in our world is not like that. Because verse 3, you say, return, O children of men, to your destruction. How did this happen? Verse 7, we have been consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are terrified. And so we have cut ourselves short. When we say, teach us to number our days, we're saying, remind us that we're creatures. But even more than that, remind us that we're sinners. And that what we need is not a home and happiness for 70 or 80 years. We need redemption, forgiveness for our sins, to be made right with God, so that He will be our home forever and ever. And He will be our happiness forever and ever. And so He alone can be our hope, because He alone has life and goodness and strength in Him. We are the ones who are the 70 or 80, and He is still the one who 1,000 years are like yesterday, like a walk in the night. And He who is our hope, then, the only possible hope, is also our help. God had said, return, O children of men, verse 3, to the dust. But we cry out to Him, and this is His word, so He teaches us to cry out to Him, return, O Yahweh. His compassion, verse 13, His mercy, verse 14, make the one who is the only possible hope our actual help. He teaches us to find help from Him. Something that's easy to forget. Because as we live, even if we are thinking biblically and want to live rightly, we're often very aware of how we're not measuring up. But a big part of numbering our days as creatures and sinners is to recognize that since we cannot be our own hope, we must have the only one who can be our hope as our help. And so as you live your life and you are aware of how things are not going well, remember to look away from yourself and to Him, because He has made Himself our help. And if He is the one who, by verse 17's words, is establishing the work of our hands, then we will be happy, not just all of our days in this life, but we will be happy forever and ever. And so if you have the Lord as your home and your hope and your help, you will have Him as your happiness. Verse 14, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. And that's all well enough, but that's only, you know, if we split 50-50 in this life and you live all the way to the 80, which is the upper range that's given in the Psalm, you know, 40 years of gladness to balance 40 years of pain. But you can see in verse 16 and 17, that He is talking about gladness during the pain, because God is your gladness, and then gladness beyond it, because you not only see his work, in verse 16, and have his beauty upon you, verse 17, but he continues to show his glory to your children, verse 16. And we know, of course, that when we return to the dust, that is prelude to resurrection. And if God is your happiness in this life, he will be your happiness forever. And so that does challenge us. What do we find to be our happiness? What are you hoping to enjoy very specifically today? How are you planning to get through today? Is the Lord your happiness today, and is he your hope and your help today? Thankfully, he gives us his word. He gives us this word specifically just now, which his Spirit has caused to be written not only on the page, but as we're thinking about in our catechism question this week, we look to his Spirit to write it upon our heart. So let's pray and ask him to do that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us this portion of your word, that in you we might dwell securely, have you as our home, have you as our refuge. We pray that your Spirit would write the truth of Psalm 90 on our hearts, that today we would have hope by your help, and that we would have happiness in belonging to you, so that the circumstances cannot take the happiness away, and not even death itself when that day comes. And so help us, O Lord, to think and live according to this instruction from your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.